As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop all things Jerry Johnson at TheRealJerry.com.
Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so that you know exactly how much you'll be getting when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member, and they will immediately connect you with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast on the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Hey, Cherry's World Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Cherry Johnson, and that is Mr. Courtney Blackman. Today, we've got some guests in the house that are really special to my heart. When I was a little girl, my mother took me to Universal Studios, and there was a group performing. And the group just happened to sing some hits that have stuck with me my whole life. Problem is, I didn't really understand all the words until I got grown. And now that I'm grown, I got them here because I need to ask them some questions. Ready for the World is in the house, y'all. Stay tuned.
This is Cherry's World.
There is an internet radio station that's generating a lot of buzz. The website is RaiseJukebox.com. What's different is it features a mix of new and throwback jams across many genres. The first Sunday each month, there are live shows with celebrity and artist interviews. Log in to RaiseJukebox.com. Press play and turn the volume up. That's right, RaiseJukebox.com.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherriesworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Shop all things Jerry Johnson at TheRealJerry.com.
One of my stories was I was really young, too young to probably listen to me. I was in some boy's house in his room. I should have been in his room. And he turned on Tonight, right? Oh. And I didn't think about it at first because that was my song until all of a sudden I heard, oh, and I was like, I gotta go. And I did not get none ever off Ready for the World because I was too young and I was scared.
And that song was written by about a girl named Bathsheba. I'm not going to say her last name.
who wrote that song?
Melvin wrote the lyrics and me and him did the music. That was his first piece. in a Winnebago.
everybody remember that first one.
But it's true.
Everybody remember that first one.
That is hilarious. Speaking of that, I wanted to have this whole conversation. A huge Ready for the World fan. You guys,
well, thank you.
No, thank you. Universal Studios. You guys had a concert, and my mama took me to the concert. And after the concert, my mama said, "How do you know all the words of them songs?" I was like, "You got me the tape." I did not know what y'all was talking about, but my mom was done with digital display. Okay, it took my mama out. And I was like, "What's the problem?" And not until today in the shower, I was seeing the words. I was like, "I never had a girl before." Yeah, I thought I was doing it. And then I started listening to what I was singing, and I was like, "My digital." I started something about playing with my digital display, and I was like, "Oh." So, how old were you guys when you started?
16, 17, 18.
Great growth digital display.
What was you thinking, Greg?
Say that again. I dropped my glass. I said that again.
I said, what were you thinking when you wrote digital display?
It was a true story. It was a true story. I had just broke up with a girl, and she had moved to Chicago. And I got to thinking about, damn, you know, she was a skinny girl. She was a skinny girl. And I was like, damn, I ain't never had a girl with a dang on figure. From here on out, I'm getting me some hips. And that's what I did. But that's where that came from, because I was hurt. She was gone. I was like, shit, she's skinny. I know I can do something better than that. I can get some hips and some other stuff going on. And that's where that came from, honestly.
Y'all was kids, so you knew what you were singing. I just had no idea what y'all was singing.
Oh, I knew what I was saying. You know, our attorneys back at the time, they told us that we needed an electronic song. Write an electronic song, something about a computer, because Roger had this song called Computer Love.
Yeah.
And it was doing real good on the charts, so she wanted us to do something like that, but a computer love song, something kind of freaky like we did, and that's what I came up with.
Yeah, I think, Greg, you had that song before we met the Lloyds. You had, remember, you was transferring.
I was transferring back and forth. I had it, but it hadn't been done.
Yeah.
I didn't even have the idea.
The idea was already done.
Yeah, I didn't have real lyrics for it. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That's what happened. My fault.
And I was going to say, tonight, I think Melvin and I wrote that in the 8th or 9th grade.
What?
Yeah.
She said what?
Yeah.
In my grade? Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm talking about.
No, I'm not. I wish I was, but it was off his first piece, and Mr. Raleigh had a Winnebago sitting in the backyard that he bought.
A camper.
With a Chrysler engine in it, and it was never used. They probably used it a couple of times, and weeds was growing out of it by the time we got our record deal. Weeds was growing out the top of it. And dandelions and sticker bushes was growing out the top of it, because it was just sitting back there. And Melvin used to use that as his
bedroom. Yeah, we don't want to know. Wrong. We don't want to know.
Well, he's not here to defend himself, so hey.
I'm just telling the story how the song was wrote.
Hey, you know what? Y'all been sampled so much by so many like artists in the 90s, 2000s, hell, probably in the 80s too. But do you all have a favorite artist or a favorite song that sampled y'all? I got a story to follow up with that too.
Is that a question?
Yeah, I got a question. Is that a question? That's a question. Like, do y'all have a favorite song or favorite artist that sampled y'all music?
If I had to choose, I'd say Trey Song's version of Tonight.
Mm.
Yeah, Kanye.
That was pretty dope the way they flipped that.
Trey Song's and Twister did that, and the song that what's the comedian's name that the song that sang later? What's his name? Jamie Foxx did. He was singing all the groups and us, Ready for the World, and
P
Oh yeah, with Kanye West, Slow Jam.
Yeah, he mentioned us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
But I think the biggest one was the Trey Songz and Twista song.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, girl. When I was in 1998 or not, and I think it was 1998 going into 99, I went to this club. It was this club in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. It was this club like in the...
Me too.
Who's from Chicago? Hey, where you from? West side or south side?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I think the north side.
North side.
I was okay. Like seven when I moved here.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, I went to this club. And this girl, I was drunk. I was only 18, but I was drunk. I was lit. And this girl, she had a version of y'all's song. Her name was Onesia or something like that. Y'all probably remember, but she made the song anyway. But she made the song, and I was so lit. I kept calling her Missy, and she was not Missy. But she brought me on stage with her, and she kept singing. She actually sang the song, y'all's song, to me. On the stage.
Some of Love You Down.
Love You Down.
N.O.J.
Yeah.
N.O.J.
That's her, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met her in Chicago. I was lit, man. It was fun, man. Yeah, but that's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite remixes of y'all's because of that situation.
Okay. I'll tell you what, what's the name of that group? Jagged Edge.
Hey.
They got a new one with Love You Down in it, and it is hot to death.
And it's Deep Inside Your Love.
Deep Inside Your Love. Oh, that's so hot, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty nice.
Mm. Yeah, they did. So, yeah,
and I'll say this, you know, throughout the years, when we were creating this music, we had no idea that it was going to be so impactful, that it was going to last as long as it has, and you know, the remakes and all that. So we definitely appreciate it. You know, we've seen it on our publishing for the most part. So that's a good thing.
Dope.
Okay, I don't know if anybody ever asked y'all this, but I want to know, because I'm nosy. Who is Sheila?
It was, as Greg said, it was nobody. It was just, Melvin came up with the initial idea, and then we built the music around the idea. So it was many titles to the song before we got to Sheila. So
I'm ready to change my name. Are you guys all friends?
Sorta.
How did you put together, I should ask?
I would say Greg and I met in summer school. And I basically was the general manager, probably, because I was the gypsy of all neighborhoods. I met Greg first because we had mopeds. Mm. When mopeds were the thing, yeah. He had a Yamaha and I had a Townie. And then we met again in summer school. And this class was like a... And somebody told me about Gerald and this guy named Jimmy. What was his name, Gerald? Jimmy Jackson. And he was playing with
Jimmy
us.
Jimmy Jackson, yeah.
He was a bass player. Oh. And I found Gerald and him through somebody telling us about him. And Jimmy got a girl pregnant and ended up quitting. Oh. And then John Eaton told me and Melvin that him and the Triplets had a bunch of equipment. And when me and Melvin went over there, they had speakers that was hanging out the cones and all that all that kind of stuff. And that's how we basically, the final group of Ready for the World came about. But the main writers at first was me, Greg, and Melvin. And then we had to train those guys what to play. And what to sing and whatever, and then they were bringing their ideas for background vocals and stuff like that. And that's how it basically happened. We had members was in and out, quitting, or, you know, if they found somebody with a better group, because we really didn't have equipment besides me, because I had a job.
Melvin didn't even have a guitar. Yeah, no, he didn't have an amp.
He had a guitar.
He didn't have an amp.
He had one string on it.
He had to wait till he graduated to get his guitar amp.
Yeah.
He didn't have no amp.
I had some pawn shop drums.
Yeah.
I had a pawn shop keyboard.
So how did it happen? Y'all ain't have no equipment. Y'all ain't had no money, no jobs.
I had a job, and Greg had a job, but my mom would make me put stuff in the layaway, and then when I got to about $100, she would put her money in.
Oh.
So I basically paid for all my guitars and amps, and Melvin and I paid for the studio time. Then Greg came in third, and the rest of the guys really didn't have money, and that's how this stuff happened.
I put $10 in. My $10.
Beautiful. And just like that, we had Ready for the World.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Now, I have to ask, you know, I'm doing this documentary on hair. I hit y'all up. Schedules didn't match. Did all y'all just go out and get the Jerry Curl? Or, like, how did that come about? Y'all styling. Did y'all decide y'all was going to do hair the same? Because look, during the documentary, when we start talking about hair, we ask people, who do you think had the best curl? They're like, Ready for the World. We was all trying to look like Ready for the World.
Well, let me say this. When we first started, I had like waves in my hair at first. So, you know, we would, you know, put the grease and the, you know, just wave it out, the hair cap every night. And I guess as time progressed, Prince and all that, you know, that little thing came on the scene, and curls kind of just came in. At that time, my mother was a beautician. So she basically, you know, gave us the Jerry curls and kept them up.
I came in with the, I'm the beautician. So I already had a Jerry curl when I came in there. Look at me now. See what it did? Don't.
Same here, brother.
Yeah.
I used a Hawaiian silk. Y'all remember Hawaiian silk? Yeah, because I told a girl, I ended up marrying this girl though, but I told her I was mixed with Hawaiian, and that's why my hair looked like.
The S curl too.
Yeah, I had S curl.
I had an S curl.
Stop it! You had an S curl.
My mama put an S curl on my hair. All you gotta do is put water in my hair, but I had a rippy S curl.
Wow, I got to see pictures.
It didn't last for long. I tore my hair out. Yep. After my S curl, I had a high low, and it was not on purpose.
All right, so tell me, who got the most action on the road?
Gordon.
Gordon did.
I had the quality. The quality.
I was just playing, man.
No way.
I'm
saying I had the quality. I didn't have the quantity.
Quantity would go to Melvin and Gerald.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Dan John.
Yeah.
Look at Gerald down there. He ain't even saying
nothing. Nobody.
You can't see him?
I can't see no one, but, you know, I had my fair goods of women, but, you know, it was all good. It was all fun.
Yeah, what was groupies like in the 80s, man?
I only see myself. Dang.
Oh. We see you.
Oh, loyal.
Loyal, that's good. They had no social media to ruin it for you. No, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
But wait a
exactly.
Minute. Y'all was just out on the road.
I can't see nobody.
So when you're talking about out on the road, what's the difference between the groupies in the 90s and the groupies now? Are they the same ones? They just
It was at that time, it was the groupies and then the beginning of the sack chasers. The sack chasers. The first time we ran in the Sack Chasers was in Los Angeles when New Edition had us come to, what was that restaurant, Fridays?
No,
Friday.
Oh, Charlie's or something like that?
No, it was Fridays.
It was Magic Johnson Fridays, probably.
Yeah, it was on Venice Beach or one of them beaches. What was my man that played in, we went in his house and the blinds was blowing. They used to be on with Debbie Allen.
It was I remember that.
My man, y'all know what I'm talking about. The dude that danced with Debbie Allen. What was the show? It was a hit show.
Fame.
I remember.
Yeah, Fame. Yeah, Fame. And that wherever that place was, that's the first place we ran. They didn't want to talk to no musicians or basketball players. They wanted all the hustlers.
Mm.
And what's my man? He used Soul Train Lou. They asked us to go there. And then another place we ran into them was in D.C. They didn't want to talk to no. They didn't care how famous you were.
Your face.
They wanted the street hustlers.
They want.
So there's levels to this. Groupies and sack chasers, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask y'all this. When y'all came to Chicago to perform, y'all bump into any women out there? I want to know if y'all might have bumped into my aunties and something.
No, we didn't.
I want to know because some of them wild.
Talk about groupies.
We don't even remember.
Look, no, I'm going to throw a name out there, and I'm not calling him a groupie, but Jan Land.
Yes. Ultimate groupie. A male.
What happened?
A male female groupie.
You got to turn this off.
Tell us your story.
Let me tell you the story of Jan Land. We met Jan
Land. Hold on. Let her tell us what happened with her and Jan Land.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No. Nothing happened with me and Jan Land. I was too young. Nothing happened. But I seen Jan always had a lot of groupies with him. He had women in it all the time. And I used to sit on his mama's porch. And I'd be like, you ain't the girl that just left with Jan 15 minutes ago. Jan hated me when I was little. Wow. He used to always tell me to go home. Because I had a big mouth.
Dang.
Damn. Cock blocking.
Yeah. But I used to be like, you ain't the girl Jan just left with. What you doing here in his
mouth? Oh, so you worse than that.
I was
you little. Telling on him.
Yeah, I was bad. I was little.
Yeah, we had to get rid of your little ass.
Last time I talked to Jan, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yep. Last time I talked to Jan, he called me, and I guess he was trying to show out he had a girl over his house. And I could tell he was trying to show out. He's like, what's going on, G-Pops? What's going on? Been a long time. I'm like, yeah. Kind of different. It's kind of weird. Yeah, man. Shit. He said something about girls. And I said, as much booty as you got down here, you shouldn't have to worry about getting some booty when you come to Flint. He was like, man, I got company. I'm about to let you go. Mm. He had me on speakerphone. Idiot. That's the last time I talked to Jack. And I didn't say booty.
Right. I already know.
He's like, man, I'm about to let you go. I got company.
Gerald, go ahead and tell your story.
Huh?
I was gonna say Gerald was about to tell a story.
Yeah,
that was Gordon. Now Gordon's probably tell his story.
I'm saying we met Jan.
I met Jan Land at a pageant.
Yeah, we played at Al Jackson's Talented Teens.
Oh yeah.
And Gerald would use Jan to take him around LA. And somehow or another, he was invited back to Flint by one of them. And when he got back on the airplane with us, when they got to Flint, they said they didn't want him to stay with them. So I opened my doors. Aww. And that's how he came to Flint. And he stayed here with me and my mother, because we were still young at that time. And, he wanted to work out on the road with us, and some of the band members didn't want him to do that. Then he did. I talked him into letting him do lighting.
Yeah.
Jan Land, we didn't even know Jan Land. He had nothing to do with us. You know what I'm saying?
Now, when he told the story, he is a group member.
Yeah, now he wants to be a group member.
Yeah.
Yeah. He don't even speak to us. He don't even speak to us or call us. No, he talks just to Melvin. He's Melvin's boy.
Yeah, I'm saying he stayed here for like 2 or 3 years. And when my mother passed away, he didn't buy her dandelion. But when Melvin's mother passed away, he flew in the same hour. And
I'm sorry,
and basically he stayed here with us, drove my cars and everything.
So that story is, not only did you have female groupies, but y'all had some male groupies too.
Awesome.
Yeah. Super fan. He's a super grouper.
So question, what do you think is worse, female groupies or male groupies?
Female.
Really? Why? See, I think male groupies are worse. They scare me.
Well, male groupies don't ask for nothing. They just want to be around and see what you're doing and where the girls at and, you know, that kind of stuff. Female groupies, they always want to eat. That's the problem we had in L.A. They were always hungry. What time are you guys going to eat? You guys want to go get something to eat? Because we knew they was hungry all day. They didn't have no man. They didn't have furniture. They had a bed. And it was sitting on the floor. So as soon as we came to town, guys want to go out to eat? Because we knew the stomach was growling. We knew they was hungry.
You know how often I hear about girls trying to get free meals? Like, that's something I could never. I would go out with men and always pay. So I can't imagine you hung. That's all you could think to ask for.
I'm saying when they spent the night with you and the next morning, they'll order, you know, go ahead and order something. Well, I want a loaf of toast, a box of pancakes, a pack of bacon.
You know what I'm saying? They were always hungry. I'm not going to tell you what we called them, but it was Hungry H, who we called them, girls.
Oh, Carlos and Charlie's. I remember we went to Carlos and
Charlie's. Yeah, Carlos and Charlie's. That's what it was. That was... Wasn't that in Hollywood?
Yeah, that's where Eddie Murphy got in the fight. Mm-hmm. That was the place to be back in the day. In the 80s.
This was before y'all time.
Yeah, y'all.
Mike Tyson got in the fight in there. All kind of people.
That's where
we met. Mike Tyson got in the fight in there. That's where we met Eddie Murphy at. He came over. Hey, how you got to look? Introduced himself to us. And that was Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles where he introduced himself to us. Roscoe.
Yeah, I'm saying, but Carlos and Charlie's was where Prince and Eddie Murphy and everybody, that was on, was it Hollywood and Vine or, name some streets to run through Hollywood.
I was going to say, there's a whole lot of them.
Yeah, Sunset Boulevard, that's it, Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, I was just saying that's where we met him at. That's where he came and introduced himself to us.
Prince and all the megastars used to go to Carlos and Charlie's. Mm-hmm. And we was lucky to get, I mean, I went in there a couple of times, but they went in there religiously. Greg and Melvin especially. Mm. And Drew.
That's a place to be.
Yeah.
This is Cherry's World.
Head over to Grits Tees. That's GRITTEEZ.com. They've got something for everybody. Athletics, humor, spiritual, and the woke communities. Come express yourself through apparel that communicates passion and perseverance. Use the checkout code Cherry and you'll get 10% off of everything right now.
Hey, did y'all ever perform on Soul Train?
100 times.
Yeah.
Every record that was
a single
we performed.
What was that like being on Soul Train? And what was Don Cornelius like?
Can I tell it?
Yeah.
Please tell it.
Well, before you tell it, Greg, let me just say it was iconic because we grew up watching Soul Train, and to actually be there and perform on it, that was iconic. So I'll let Greg go ahead, and I know what you're gonna say.
No, it was a trip because we thought those Soul Train dancers got paid, and they didn't get paid. Their pay was
chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. They had a wall of tables, piles and piles of KFC. And that will be they're paid. They can eat as much chicken as they want, but they didn't get paid.
Right.
And garbage cans of pop with ice in it.
Yep. Yeah.
It was a ghetto production.
Oh, it was worse than that, because while we're up there recording, say we're doing those Sheila and they're recording, if somebody was talking, Don Cornelius would stop the music and cuss them out.
Mm-hmm.
He was like Pinky.
You're Chicago.
And he would lose it. Who's talking? Who's talking? I'll put you out right now. Man, to be quiet like a church, my man would lose it. While we're on stage, we're up on stage, my man will lose it.
Yeah.
So that's something that I remember right there. That dude, and his lip used to shake when he's hollering, he should go. You be looking mean.
How do you treat y'all though?
Great.
Okay.
Great, yeah. great. Treat us real good.
Wow. And
checked on us, make sure everything was okay before he came out, you know.
I think he introduced us to this guy named Mel. They had a fish spot in Watts or somewhere.
Males,
they had the Rolls Royces and the Bentleys. And
He had two. He had a convertible and a higher top. He parked in the back at Soul Train.
Yeah.
I always
Two baby blue Rolls Royces.
Mm. I wanted to be Jody Watley. Can't you tell?
Oh, wow. Searching for a new love.
I wanted to be a Soul Train dancer. I was gonna do that line dance.
I love Jody Watley's sister.
Who's his sister?
Oh, y'all don't know who her sister is?
Uh-oh. No,
that's a story for another podcast.
Oh, wait a minute, I do know. Look it up. We're not gonna talk about that here. She's okay. She's a star too, right? But a different kind of star.
Yes, yes, she's a great star.
Oh, okay. Her sister. Okay. I get it.
Orlando Valley stars. Mm-hmm. What, where's Feezy? He done disappeared again.
I don't know.
Okay, I have a question for you guys. Everybody's on Instagram now, right? They have Instagram verses.
Mm.
Who would go versus Ready for the World?
Usher. Usher, yeah, definitely Usher, because he's got that deep frog voice. When he first came out, he kind of sounded like he was trying to sound like Mel when he first came out. I would say Usher. Anybody from the 80s. Male group from the 80s. Any male group from the 80s.
The only thing I would say that our catalog is not big as everybody else's. But
Mint Condition.
No, I would say Ready for the World versus Full Force.
I don't know about that one.
No, neither. They was more of a... You know, they were a lot. They didn't have, they had verses. It was a different group. You know, we were more like a singing group. You know what I mean?
Willie, who do you think?
Maybe, I don't know.
I'm thinking, it would be, to flip it a little, Ready for the World versus Climax.
Oh,
that'll,
okay.
That'll get everybody involved, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Mint Condition would be a good one, too. And then you got Jodeci, and I'm saying Jodeci because they were, as we were declining, Jodeci was rising. So we kind of clashed at one point.
That wouldn't be a good look. Jodeci, once they drop the needle on their record, some hits just keep going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got some hits.
What about H-Town?
Say it again.
H-Town is more 90s.
I love H-Town, man. I went to Chicago to meet them dudes. Mm. Took my son. I drove my son down there to meet them dudes. They were real, real cool. It was really cool.
What about Atlantic Star?
Atlantic Star?
Is that more?
They're a little bit older than us. Them guys are in their 60s.
And Midnight Star, some of them guys are from Flint.
Mm.
Yeah.
Melvin's daddy taught him in school.
Really?
Yep. Is it Melvin Gentry and I forgot the other guy's name.
I forget his name. I know who you're talking about, but I forget his name.
I like what you said, Climax, though. I think that would be dope.
Yeah, that would be. I'm thinking.
Maybe we can say
they were a band. That's for sure. They had instruments. They held instruments in their hand, just like that.
They had a top pop record. They had some R&B records. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What are you guys doing now? That's what we want to know.
Say it again, ma'am.
I said, what are you, ma'am?
I don't want to call you young lady because it shows my age. Excuse me, young lady.
Ma'am. I said, what are y'all doing now?
Well, Gerald and I are continuing on doing new music. We're working with some new artists. Aside from that, you know, through the years, like once the group broke up the first time, because back in the early 90s when Melvin went solo, we kind of just broke up. And so I went back to school and then I kind of circled back around and we started a record label with Gerald and I started a record label with two other guys and put out a couple of rap artists. So I've worn the management hat, the record company hat, the artist hat. So throughout the years, we've just been dipping and dapping in music. Gordon and Gray, you all can tell your story.
I 2019, I was working on a solo record. First time I ever thought I would do a record. I was listening to all the new music, and I love all the new stuff that's out. I mean, all the Young Thug and everybody, all the young dudes, I love that stuff, so I don't care what nobody say. Anyway, 2019, I decided that I was going to put out an album, and everybody, I guess, that knew me expected to come out with an R&B record. Well, it was a rap record. The entire record was a rap record. Oh. You can look it up. It's the name is Mickey Deepin, M-I-C-K-E-Y, Deep N, like the pool. So you can look it up on anything. I'm on everything. Mickey Deepin.
Okay.
A week after I put my album out, I had a major stroke.
Oh.
So I retired and everything. So I can't work anymore. So I just been doing me ever since then. Mm. Very good, because I was paralyzed. I was paralyzed on my right side. I couldn't talk. I could talk, but, you know, I'm still having some speech impediments, but I couldn't move anything on my right side. So right about now, I'm probably about 85% or 90% recovering. Mm-hmm. I can move my hand. I couldn't move my hands. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go to the bathroom. So, I mean, I'm driving. I'm doing everything now except for running. One of my favorite hobbies is going to the gun range shooting. Mm-hmm. I love that. So when I had my stroke, I could not pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just broke my heart. I mean, keyboards music is my number one thing, and number two getaway was, you know, going to the gun range. So I had to build that strength up so I can go to the gun range. So I was able to do that again, but I'm still not able to play the keyboards or play the guitars and basses and stuff like that yet. So recovery's going good. It just it's taking a little bit of time.
Did it start with high blood pressure?
I had high blood pressure, but it was caused by cholesterol. Mm-hmm. I had high cholesterol, and it popped the vessel in my brain.
Oh.
And that's what caused the stroke.
I had to ask, because Black men, we need to change our eating habits. I'm a certified nutritionist. If you need my help, reach out to me, and I got y'all. But I'm so thankful that you are recovering.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, there's a guy just... It's still on the same subject. There's a guy that, a Black guy, he's a trainer for all the celebrities in tennis. He trains all the celebrities how to play tennis. He just had a stroke not even a year ago. Young Black guy. And he was in perfect shape. I mean, he trained everybody and he had a stroke. I mean, perfectly fit. He had a way worse stroke than I did. He can't do anything. I don't even think he's talking.
God bless.
This is Gordon. When we first started, I was so afraid of the flights. I tried to go up my life insurance policy. Mm. And when I did that, they wanted me to go have a physical. And they told me at that point in time at 19 that I was leaking protein in my urine, not knowing that it was something that my great grandmother had. And she died giving birth to my great auntie. And back in those times, it was called dropsy if you had kidney problems. Anyway, when Melvin left, you know, I did some recording with Willie and Gerald and Greg, and we had to get another singer, and then it was not successful. And Greg got me into bike riding, buying expensive bikes. And I did that, and then I started riding the bikes to the gyms. And lo and behold, I was playing basketball with Willie now and his family, and I fell out at the gym. And when they took me to the hospital, they didn't find anything. But it was a start of my kidneys declining. And four of my family members had the disease. It's called glomerular follicular sclerosis. And polycystic kidney disease. I had a transplant, and I also worked at the hospital, and I was able to take care of patients. I took a nurse aid course, and me and Drew worked at the same hospital, but I dug in deeper into, you know, doing things, even all the way to bagging bodies with some of the nurses. And I had a transplant, and I just had cancer that just took the kidney out of my body. My brother gave me, and a long story short, but I went on what Willie was doing, eating chicken, turkey, and fish and vegetables. And even that didn't prevent it kept my kidneys working an extra 10 years. And from all the exercise I was doing, the bike riding that Greg got me into, and the bike riding and playing basketball every day, is probably why I'm still here. I know I've had over 30 surgeries.
Wow.
And the last surgery I had was April 21st when they removed the cancer out of my body. And a couple of our friends we grew up with, Adrian is a nurse. He was in a dance group called the Electricians. He's my nurse. And Jonathan Mateen, he was a Muslim with Willie, and he's a nurse, and he also had a transplant. But Adrian and him, they used to tell me the ins and outs of the transplant and how the transplant medicine can give you cancer. My cousin, Bryant, remember I said four of us had kidney disease. He succumbed to cancer because the rejection medicine gives you cancer. To me, I think that when they okay these meds and different things, they okay it on white people. And I'm not saying that to be prejudiced.
No, but they don't test on us.
They don't test on us. And I believe a lot of the last story I'm going to tell, for me working at the hospital, and two African nurses hired in, and one was from the west side of Africa, and one was from the east side of Africa. And they're, when you ask them questions, they get so uptight. And I was just asking them, I said, in Africa, do y'all have sugar and salt? And do you all use lorries, and do you have sugar and stuff like that? They said, no. And I said, and the only reason I asked that question, because me and Greg also got into fish tanks. And Greg can attest to this. When you have different fish from all over the world, you can't feed them to all the same things. And that's the reason I asked them that question about our African history and our diet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't drink regular milk. They drink goat's milk. They don't use salt and stuff, and they don't eat sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe our sicknesses and our the diabetes and all the stuff that's tied into our to our systems is because we're eating a European diet.
Absolutely. Black people, I've said it over and over and over again, we're supposed to eat of the earth.
That's right.
And I know in Africa, they probably killed the food and ate it right then because it's so hot. Mm-hmm. So they didn't preserve nothing as the Europeans did with salt. You know.
That's why most of us are lactose intolerant. We're not supposed to eat milk.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's my story, but you know. I would suggest it all during this interview. All of us men must go to the doctor. I know another thing I've learned that from being in the hospital, our life expectancy is 62 years old. And I try to explain this to my sister, her friends, and they still think there's men out here. Besides the violence that's been taking a lot of us away, now it's the health issues.
Yeah.
A lot of us have, and a lot of my friends got brain tumors. Like our mutual friend, Eric Turner, I haven't talked to him. I just talked to him and he had 3 heart attacks and he wasn't a drinker or a smoker. And you know what I'm saying? So I would suggest all men go to the doctor, get your blood work and run in there like the women run.
Real talk. Because you know us men, especially if you got a woman. If, you know, I used to be a victim of this. I'd be like, you good? If she say she good, I'd be like, all right, I'm good then. But it don't work like that, you know.
Yeah.
We tend to, this diet that we're on, this European diet, it's devoid of the biodegradables. You know, we go walk into a grocery store and in the center of the store, there's foods or so-called foods packed with different preservatives and all sorts of things that, you know, preserve shelf life as a product. So you can't sit it on your countertop and within a matter of days, it's dissolved or it's in some other form, then you shouldn't be putting it in your body. You know, it's as simple as that with me.
That's gospel. He preaching. Ready for the world. Where can your fans find you now? Are you guys on Instagram?
Yes, we're on Instagram at Ready for the World Official. On Twitter, Facebook at RFTW Music. So everything else is at RFTW Music on Instagram at Ready for the World Official.
You guys, thank you so much for being here. I've been trying to get y'all forever.
Such an honor for me to be able to, you know, meet the people. That's why I love them.
One more thing. We put out a single about 2 years ago. We put out a song called So Much Life. It's without Melvin. It's a new guy from Atlanta. Ray Lavender was his name. He's singing on this song. So if you guys get a chance, check out So Much Life. You can check it out on YouTube or anything, but it's a great song. We got to number 27 with that song in the summer of 2018.
And Ray Lavender, I think he was signed to Akon, and he had the song called My Girl Has a Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Man.
And even on stage, I mean, he had girls sucking his titties on stage.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to ask you a question about that. See, I've been looking for that song because in 2007, I had my bachelor party in Miami and we had a big ass Topaz suite. And
we had this conversation.
Well, I just want to know, like, because that song was playing all the whole time out there. And I never knew who that person was. That was a dope ass.
He was signed to Akon Music and through CBS some kind of way. And we did this. Willie and Gerald found him and he wanted to perform and we were going through trouble with Melvin, which we still are. And when the promoter, the record promoter got us up to that 26 or 27, He told us, and he was asked, what the F is wrong with y'all? Y'all ain't even happy about the situation. But we done been through so much, you know what I'm saying, health-wise and music industry-wise. It's really calibrate stuff at this point in life, you know what I'm saying? And that's all I can say about that, you know. Melvin is not with us anymore because we basically, when we first started, they asked us to share the royalties, me, Greg, and Melvin, to share the royalties with the non-contributors. And that was before Gerald helped do O'Sheila, and they asked us all in a row. They asked Melvin first, Greg second, and me third. And John, he was just in the room with us. And we agreed because if we didn't perform, they wouldn't have got anything, you know, if we didn't have any live performances. Long story short, when Twister and Trey Songz did Tonight Over, is how I discovered him taking our royalties. And that's how we had to go out and get Ray Lavender, because Melvin is basically trying to punish us for, you know, us catching him, putting our trust in him. And he set up and watched us go to work and get jobs and all that kind of stuff.
Music game.
His excuse was, how can I steal what's already mine?
Damn.
Now, what he was doing, when he went solo, the record company mixed his royalties with our royalties some kind of way. We think he had something to do with it, but they got mixed up. So what he did was, when our royalties started coming, he started taking what he felt was his. Well, we didn't know he was doing that. He ended up telling Willie and Gerald back in the 90s that he was doing that. But he was, every time a check come, he would pull out what he thinks was his, you know, from his solo career. And from a song he did by what was a group called 4x4, with some young guys, young kids way back in the day. He did a song on them. It didn't do anything.
But he had come over.
That song did so much, did so good that he kept on saying, y'all get my 4x4 money. We're like, we're not getting your 4x4 money. So he started taking what he thought was his. And when Gordon asked the record company to send us the amounts of money that we were getting, that's when we found out they were sending us like $300,000, $110,000 that was coming to Flint, but we never were getting that money. And when we found out that money was coming to Flint, that's when we, you know, got a lawyer and tried to sue Melvin, and they told us, because statute of limitations, we could no longer sue him because it's been so long. So that's why he's not with us today.
I'm so I didn't, I thought maybe it was just like, you know, he's famous.
That's exactly what happened, and that's when Jan became his best friend and all. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? But while I'm on here, I got to give a shout out to Philip Loving Jr. because he's actually who reconnected me guys with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you.
But we had to share that with you, and why we had Willie. I was doing dialysis when we did Sway in the Morning, and because my dialysis equipment didn't arrive in New York, Willie and Gerald didn't tell the story when we were on Sway in the Morning, and I didn't make this stuff because I had to do makeup dialysis in New York. And I didn't get to do the interview, but people should know because the fans have supported us this long.
Yeah.
And it's a reason why this is going on. And I just think everybody should know what's the reason for the season. And we were a team of producers. We all could play instruments and separate instruments. Some of us better than others. But it's a team, like a basketball team. Everybody has to know their position and whatever they, you know, what they do.
Right.
And that's the way we've been operating since the beginning. But you know what I'm saying. I was glad that Greg did so much live, because mentally, I wasn't able to do no more music because I was just tired, and I had I was taking care of my mother and father, and they were dying. And, you know, wow. I was sick. So, Greg, that was a great song he did. And Willie helped promote it. And the story of us needs to be told. You know what I'm saying?
I agree, because we love you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Specials to a lot of us.
We appreciate you having us on your show.
Definitely.
Anytime.
And when y'all ready to write a book or something, let me know.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you.
And we want to talk about the book on the show, the movie, the something. Y'all need to do
well, the movie was in the works, but somebody screwed that up. So hopefully we can get somebody else to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, all right.
I love y'all. Okay?
Thank you.
We love you too.
Thank you.
Yeah, y'all meant the world to me.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. You done made two old little kids very happy.
Yeah, man.
All right.
The soundtrack to my teenage years, for real.
All right.
Thank you, guys. It was so nice.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, if you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at HereYouAreAZ.com.